good afternoon, everyone. Happy Tuesday, July 18th to you. Near and far, friends and foe. My name is Mark Dukes. I'll be with you for the next hour. Scott Unash taking the last day of a bit of a respite. He'll be back tomorrow. But I am joined again today by trusty friend Isaac. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing all right. We also have Spencer filling as the producer role. Spencer just got done with your show, so you can...
Hi!
How are you doing? How's it feel to be over there for once in a little bit?
I haven't sat here in a while, so I don't know what to do with my hands.
I don't think last time you sat back there, you probably didn't have a mic or anything over
there. I
didn't,
no. So I was like miming to Scott and Mark or Todd or whoever I was filling in for, so yeah.
Spencer, continue great work on Spencer on Sports. It proceeds this show. Hope you listened. And thanks for sitting in for a bit, Spencer. We're going to try to get you out of there fairly quickly, as you have other duties as assigned, right?
Other duties as assigned is actually my middle name, Mark. And little known fact about me.
Don't I know it. Welcome in, by the way. Today we'll be joined by former major leaguer and major league pitching coach Cal Aldred. That will be at the bottom of the hour. Another opportunity for you to win tickets to Saturday's big event at Iowa Speedway in Newton. Again, Saturday, this coming Saturday, two tickets. To the race, the pre-concert featuring Carrie Underwood, and the post-concert from Kenny Chesney. That brought to you by Hy-Vee. And just a heads up, we're going to do this giveaway in about 10 to 15 minutes, right, Isaac?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Plenty to get to today. As we navigate towards midweek, let me give you some updates on state baseball and softball as the high school season comes near a conclusion. State baseball tournament in Iowa City, the 4A quarterfinals, defending champion Johnston defeated Iowa City Liberty, 9-3. Tonight, Iowa City High will face Ames at 7. And in Carroll, Dyersville Beckman moved on to the semifinals with a hard-fought 5-4 victory over Pella Christian. Tonight, Williamsburg will take on Underwood. At the state softball tournament in Fort Dodge, Dubuque Waller defeated Benton Community 10-0 in a very difficult 3A bracket. Just concluded, Regina with another thrilling victory along the tournament trail, defeating Northeast 4-3. And in progress right now, last look in the seventh inning, Interstate 35 leading Lisbon 9-5. Tonight, North Lynn will take on Sigourney at 7 p.m. So now you're up to date on the state tournaments. Some players on the Iowa football team met the media today, and no doubt with a heavy heart, as it was announced that former teammate, former Hawkeye Cody Ince, offensive lineman, died. He was 23 years old, cause of death unknown. Ince competed in 29 games for the Hawkeyes, starting a handful of games. And he was a former three-star recruit out of Wisconsin. So Isaac, some tough news out of the Iowa football program today.
Yeah, and Kirk Ferentz released a statement on it, too. He also said, "I'm incredibly sad to hear about Cody Ince's sudden passing. Cody was a tremendous young man, valued teammate, and contributor to our program." On top of, you know, just things about his different life, things that he liked, how it was sad to see that he was just beginning the next chapter in his life, and that ended abruptly, unfortunately.
Yeah, visitation will be held Saturday in Amory, Wisconsin. Isaac, every now and then, the Olympics, the World Cup, for us golf fans, maybe even the Ryder Cup, a sense of pride comes over our nation. This week, it will be the World Cup, and everybody will be a fan of the U.S. women's soccer team. It's hard to explain, but this, you know, widespread, everybody's a soccer fan type thing, but it's more pride in America for a lot of people than anything else. But the United States in Group E will open against Vietnam. Probably could play its C team and win that one. But what's in store for the U.S. team?
Yeah, I mean, it's different than the previous two World Cups for them, where, again, they're coming in as the favorites. But there's a little bit of a sense that the world has almost caught up in terms of women's soccer to the U.S., where in previous years it was the U.S. and who else do you pick? Like to go against them, because there wasn't really anyone else that could compete. And now you've had, you know, England has put in a lot of resources into developing their women's team. The Netherlands made their second World Cup 4 years ago, and that's who the United States played in the final. I would imagine in their third World Cup, they'll be even better. Yeah, I mean, it'll be tough, especially when, you know, I've touched on it a little bit. They're a little bit older, at least some of the key players. You look at, like, Alex Morgan, who is one of the faces of the team, to go along with someone like Megan Rapinoe. And she's a little bit on the older side. She's 35-ish, I want to say, somewhere around there. And they don't have much. She's their pretty much only striker option at that position. They don't have a ton of depth there. On top of, they have a lot of injuries to some key players there. They have a winger who's Mallory, who's injured right now, and she was one of their main goal scorers. On top of, you know, key midfielders like Rose Lavelle, who is really important to how that midfield wants to operate and how they want to progress the ball forward. And she's coming in with a little bit of an injury. She's still on the team, but she is not at 100%. So I think this World Cup might be a little bit closer than the previous two, where U.S. came in as favorites. They came in, they dominated, and won the whole thing like they should. This one might be a little bit closer when you get after the group stage here for the United States. I hope they do well. I'm going to be cheering for them. It's not going to be like last World Cup where I can watch every single game every day. Unfortunately, it is in New Zealand and Australia, so there's going to be some games that are taking place at 2 a.m. and 4 a.m. and I don't love it enough to wake up at 2 a.m. or 4 a.m. to watch the sport. But I love World Cup times. I love seeing the U.S., not just like traditional soccer fans, but seeing all U.S. fans come together and cheer on for a sport that, granted, isn't the most popular, but I love seeing it captivate people in that way.
Yeah, you're a big soccer fan. Am I right? You know, the sense of national pride. There's going to be viewing parties. Mm-hmm. And, you know, don't get me wrong. I think it's great. But much like the Olympics, nobody gives a darn about the women's gymnastics team until every 4 years. Maybe it's true with soccer. I don't know. But the fact that the women won it last time, are anticipated to do well Maybe that changes things. I don't know.
I hope so. I talked a little bit about this with Spencer, where I don't think it's going to lead to long-term growth in the sport. I think the thing that will lead to long-term growth in the sport here in the United States is going to be the 2026 World Cup, if there was ever going to be long-term growth in the sport, because that will be the men's World Cup that is held in the United States when the United States, I'm projecting, again, it's 3 years out, so who knows, I guess, but a lot of the United States men's players right now are very young, and I'm projecting 3 years, they could be phenomenal players, not just for United States standards, but world standards. And so I think we could see in 2026 more of an interest increase in soccer, on men's soccer, in the United States than something like the Women's World Cup that's going to be hard to watch every single game because there's games at 2 a.m., there's games at 4 a.m., and you can't watch all of these women's... there are some stars in the sport, and unfortunately, with the time zone differences, we're not going to be able to watch all of those stars.
Now, the United States opens against Vietnam, but also... in Group B, you mentioned the Netherlands and Portugal. Two teams come out of each group to bracket play. Is the United States going to be challenged in this group?
Maybe by the Netherlands. I would still predict them to come in first. I think they beat Vietnam, and I think they beat Portugal fairly easily. Despite, you know, Ronaldo, he's obviously Portuguese, but... before Ronaldo, Portugal was not really a great soccer country, which is kind of weird to think about. I know Spain is fantastic, but Portugal hadn't had many great players in their team. There were some like Figo and stuff like that, but I would be surprised if Portugal was able to steal a game off the United States. I would predict probably a win against Portugal, win against Vietnam, and then maybe Netherlands and U.S. come to a draw and U.S. is on top based on goal difference, something around along those lines.
Who are the overall challengers when it comes down to semis and finals?
Yeah, so Canada is really interesting. Canada and U.S. have in women's soccer, have a pretty tough rivalry at times. It gets a little bit chippy sometimes to see. In World Cups, it's really interesting to see how the home teams do. So I would predict maybe not so much New Zealand, but Australia is a top 10 country. And I would predict, or I would think Australia does pretty well. England has a couple really, some stellar players on their team, and they've come together. They won the Women's Euros 2 years ago. And France also has some really interesting teams. Germany, again, another... typical soccer nation. They've won the Women's World Cup twice in 2003 and 2007, I believe. And I don't think they're quite at that level right now. And then Brazil, maybe not so much as quality, but they have a star, Marta, who has been in the forefront of women's soccer for almost my entire life. This will be her sixth World Cup. So World Cup every 4 years, she's been in six of them, which is just an insane number to sort of comprehend. So I think the biggest challengers are going to be England and Canada. I would be really interested in seeing how Australia does, because usually during World Cup years, home teams get a little bit of a boost. We saw in 2018 in the Men's World Cup, Russia made a really deep run into that World Cup, and they're not a fantastic team by any means, but since the World Cup was held in Russia, the team did a lot better than a lot of people were predicting.
All right, we'll get your first game update on Friday. Right now we want to put Spencer to work. Spencer wearing his Inter Miami jersey today, I heard. Right, Spencer?
What's Inter Miami?
That's the Messi team. Come on.
Oh, okay. I don't know what that is.
I'm going to make a soccer fan out of everyone at this station. Everyone's going to have an MLS team that they cheer for or a Premier League team. I know Todd already cheers for a German team, Borussia Dortmund, because they have Hawkeye colors.
Okay, great.
Now, good luck with that. Spencer's going to take caller six right now for the winner of a pair of tickets to Saturday's IndyCar race event and pre- and post-game concerts brought to you by Hy-Vee goes at Iowa Speedway in Newton. You ready to go, Spence?
Ready as I'll ever be.
All right, caller number six. Weigh in and win these tickets. Continuing on the gym class, the first player or former player at Northwestern has filed suit against the program and Coach Pat Fitzgerald. And this player named John Doe in the suit apparently played at Northwestern from 2018 to 2022. Will he be the last? Today, President Michael Schill of Northwestern issued a statement to faculty and staff trying to galvanize his community that is going through these tough times. I'm not sure how widespread these suits will be. Many players have enlisted legal counsel. Isaac, one thing we haven't talked about, and that kind of gnaws at me. Pat Fitzgerald lost his job, and maybe as he should have. But what has happened to the players who conducted this hazing?
Mm-hmm.
What has happened to the players who watched as it happened? Again, that kind of gnaws at me.
Yeah.
To my knowledge, nothing.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything either. I hadn't really even considered that. You know, again, a lot of the blame, I think, maybe not a lot, but definitely some of the blame does lie at Pat Fitzgerald's feet there, where, again, we have to, not to reiterate, but, I mean, we've talked about it. If he didn't know, he should have known. And if he did know, then shame on you sort of thing. But yeah, I haven't really even thought about what's going on with the players that participated in that, that encouraged that, and what sort of repercussions might come of that to them, if any.
Named in this lawsuit is Northwestern University President Michael Schill, the school's board of trustees, and athletic director Derek Gregg. And again, the lawsuit alleges they concealed sexual misconduct and racial discrimination. And once again, the plaintiff played for the Wildcats from 18 to 22. Why don't you identify yourself, dude?
Yeah, I mean, it is tough. I think maybe he's seeing some of the backlash that some of the players have come out in support of Pat Fitzgerald, and he might be a little bit afraid of, I don't want to say afraid, but it's tough putting your name to something, an accusation like that at times. And so I could definitely understand why you might be a little apprehensive about doing that.
Obviously going to be a very, very tough year for the Wildcats with an interim coach, the hazing allegations hovering over the program. It was not going to be a good Northwestern team anyway. It does have a transfer quarterback with experience coming in, but this team, I don't know what is the over and under. 1.5 on wins.
Yeah, it might be pretty low for Northwestern next season. Spencer's holding up 3. Yeah, I guess they could probably 3, probably non-conference stuff.
Okay.
I'd have to double check. Last I saw it was 3, I want to say, but it's not high, and I would take the under. Don't take betting advice from me, but I would take the under if I were placing money on Northwestern's win total.
I'm in your corner, Spencer, and of course Iowa plays at Wrigley Field against Northwestern. I believe that game in November. So that was a game that Iowa was going to be favored to win regardless, but now the suits have begun. Where it all leads, only for, you know, conjecture more than anything else, but the first suit has been filed against Northwestern. 324 on the gym class. We're going to get to a Emos Hideaway scoreboard update in just a minute. Spencer and Isaac, do we have a winner of the tickets?
We do. Congratulations to Cole from North Liberty. Caller number 6.
Cole, congratulations. You joined Mark from Cedar Rapids, who won yesterday on the gym class. Spencer, I know you gave away a pair, and Todd will give away a pair on his show coming up from 4 to 6. Do we continue this tomorrow?
Right. There will be, for all three shows, there will be another pair. So you got four more chances. No worries if you didn't get through this time. It was probably the producer this time, I would say. It's someone else's fault, you know. Every time that I'm the producer, I never have any complaints on people not getting through, so.
Man, harsh.
Sorry, I'm sure harsh. Spencer's doing great. I'm just kidding.
Harsh. I give my time to you guys, and all I get is flack. Come on.
I'm sorry. I'm just messing with you, Spencer. I'm just messing with you.
Well, at least the Brewers are pitching these days.
Wade Miley just got put on the injured list, so things might be trending downward here. We'll see.
That's going to be an interesting race, and we're going to visit with Cal Eldred, our every two-week segment with Cal on Major League Baseball. That coming up in about 5 minutes or so. But right now, let's get to an Emos Hideaway scoreboard, and that will follow Cal's appearance. And I will bring it to you. A former Iowa basketball star, Joe Wieskamp, has been cut by the Toronto Raptors. I know this is a few hours later than it was announced, but it comes after Wieskamp scored 27 points in his latest summer league game. The Open Championship Golf Tournament begins bright and early, and I mean just after midnight on Thursday. Zach Johnson will have an afternoon tea time in Liverpool, England. That equates to 7:15 a.m. Central Time. He will tee off with Matt Wallace and David McLucy. Not familiar with David, but we will follow along and bring you Zach's results on Thursday. Major League Baseball continues for Midwest teams tonight. Milwaukee is at Philadelphia. The White Sox travel to New York to face the Mets. Miami will be at St. Louis. The Chicago Cubs entertaining Washington. Detroit at Kansas City. And Minnesota, fresh off a tough one-run loss to the Mariners, will be at Seattle. Let's take a break. Spencer, if you'll hook up with Cal Eldred, that'd be great. And we come back, we'll talk with Cal right here on the Gym Class.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast, and we'll have a mix of sun and clouds today with temperatures hanging out around 80. The humidity stays relatively low, and then tonight may still be some passing clouds and temperatures drop down to a low around 60. Tomorrow is going to be a bit warmer and more humid ahead of a cold front. Temperatures will be in the mid-80s. We'll have a slim chance for an isolated shower or storm in the evening, and then drier air moves back in, and we'll have temperatures in the low to mid-80s Thursday and Friday. That's your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast.
Finish your outdoor project with 11% off everything. Beautify and protect your deck, fences, and outdoor wood furniture with Thompson's. Thompson's Water Seal Wood Sealer protects against damage from water and sun and helps maintain wood's natural color that will last 4 years. Get a gallon of transparent deck and siding wood sealer for $19.97 after 11% rebate at Menards. Good through July 23rd. Savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards. Make sure your cooling system is ready for the long haul this summer with preventative maintenance from E&J Geothermal. This smart step keeps you ahead of frustrating emergencies, is proven to extend the life of your cooling system, and can catch a small issue before it turns into a huge expense. Plus, E&J Geothermal is an expert in helping maintain your cooling system. Don't let the summer heat win. Schedule preventative maintenance today or ask E&J Geothermal about installing a new energy-efficient Climate Master geothermal system. Find out more at ejgeothermal.com.
The biggest pro football contests in Vegas are back and bigger than ever with $14 million in guaranteed prizes only at Circa Sports. Enter in Nevada, play from anywhere, two ways to win and no rake. Play Circa Million, make five picks against the spread each week with quarterly and full season payouts, or join Circa Survivor. Select one team each week straight up. Last the longest to win it all. $14 million in guaranteed prizes. Visit CircaSports.com for details. Circus Sports Iowa encourages you to gamble responsibly. Problems with gambling? Call or visit 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
Welcome back to the gym class, squarely at the bottom of the hour on this July 18th. Mark Dukes and Isaac with you today. Scott Unash will return tomorrow. We'll have a full lineup back together tomorrow. Speaking of lineups, we're pleased to be joined again by our friend Cal Eldred, former Major League player and pitching coach. Good afternoon, Cal.
Good afternoon, Mark. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Since we last talked, the All-Star game was played. You're a man who played in both leagues. Don't know whether you have any allegiances anymore, but this All-Star game, the hero was an unlikely one, kind of dominated by pitching in my mind. What do you think?
Well, I do agree. I think that, we can't go without talking about the fact that, the state of Iowa had one of their own, Mitch Keller, getting to throw an inning in an All-Star game, which I cannot imagine how exciting that was for him. And then his team ends up coming out on top. So you got to give the National League's pitching a ton of credit. And obviously the American League did a pretty nice job too. But it just goes to, Mark, we've talked about this a lot of times, it goes to that good pitching literally almost always stops good hitting, and it should. That's kind of how the averages work out in the game.
Cal, yesterday's poll question at KGYMRadio.com dealt with Shohei Ohtani, and it basically asked the question, what would you do if you were the Angels? Would you keep him or try to trade him? Is it possible to give the pros and cons on this topic?
Well, it's a tough scenario because I think I go back to a conversation, Mark, that you and me and Scott had last year, it seemed like, when we were talking about what is the Ohtani's worth. What do you pay a guy like that? And you think about, I think he's making around $30 million this year, but you're talking about an ace on the mound, and you're talking about a three-hole hitter on the offensive end who can still play defense. So, and it's pretty darn good at it. But you're going to obviously use him as DH most of the time. So when you think about trading him, and are there a number of prospects or even major league players that you would trade him for? To me, you look at deals and you see a lot of times you'll see a starting pitcher go from one to a team to another in a trade deadline or even in the offseason trade. And you see 3-4 minor league prospects. But I think for Shohei Ohtani, you're going to have to get major league ready, very quality major league players if you're the Angels. But what are you willing to give up if you're another team? Man, you're going to have to come up with a ton of money. So if you make that deal, you're going to want to be able to sign him. That's my thought process.
Yeah, my thought yesterday was that, you know, the what teams are going to want might be too prohibitive. Plus the fact that the Angels want to hang on to him, do they see a pathway forward and overtaking Seattle and Houston and Texas in that division, knowing that Mike Trout will be back later on the season and presumably into next? That's the big question for the – is there a pathway to contend?
Well, and I think with the Angels, you look right now, and it's – you know, when I was thinking about this, you know, I look – you're looking it up, and you see that the Angels are fifth in baseball, in all baseball offensively. And obviously, that's with two of the best offensive players in the game in their lineup in Trout and Ohtani. And then they've got some good pieces around them. So their offense is there. Their offense is in a position to be able to get them into the playoffs and have some success. But when your pitching's 23rd in the league or in Major League Baseball, that's where you, obviously some resources need to go to. So are there free agent pitchers or trades they can make to shore that up? And that's a tough one, Mark, to answer your question. You've got to come up with the money to make your pitching better, and you're going to have to come up with the money to keep Ohtani. That's a huge price tag.
Cal, perhaps concede Atlanta a division title. 10 games up right now. But I'm telling you, I don't have to tell you, these other five divisions are something else. It's going to make for a super interesting stretch run.
Well, there's no question, because if you start at the top, and I agree, I think Atlanta's going to obviously that Atlanta's probably going to win this division. They're, you know, they've got the best offensive in the game, they've got the best pitching in the game overall. The numbers say that. But you look at, and Miami's a good team, Philadelphia's a good team. They don't feel like they're counting themselves out, and they're really going to push for a wild card. I mean that, and that's tough to say, because we know where Philadelphia was at the end of the season last year. But when you look at the other divisions and you go stay in the National League, the Central, the Cubs have to decide at 8.5 games out, do they have enough to overtake Milwaukee and Cincinnati? Are they buyers or sellers at this trade deadline? And I think the Dodgers are headed, as the Dodgers typically are at this point in time of the year, they're moving up. And Arizona's headed the wrong direction, and San Francisco's in the mix. So those two divisions are up in the air. Three teams, basically, in each of those divisions that could win that. And in the American League East, I know the Yankees are 9 games out. Boston's 8 games out. But the way Boston's been playing, they can win this division. I don't think 8 games is too far if you're going to add to your team, even though Tampa and Baltimore have been really good all year. Skip to the American League West, Mark, and Texas and Houston, they're just keep playing better baseball. So it's going to be tougher, I think, for Seattle. And then the question of the Angels, what are they going to do? And I left the Central for the last, Mark, because I know we've had these conversations. Minnesota needs to add to their offense. If they add to their offense, I think they win this division. But I don't think Cleveland's really going to go anywhere. But if a team's going to add, Minnesota's a team that I think they could add and win that division.
But do the Twins give up a Sonny Gray?
I don't think they can afford to give up any of their pitching and win the division. I just don't think they can. And it's tough too, Mark. You know that the White Sox and Detroit and Cleveland and Minnesota, everyone, all within 8 games of winning this division, none of those teams want to mortgage their future by giving up too much for one piece. But I think if anybody has the opportunity to do that, Minnesota would have to do that. And I think it's one of those, here's a major league ready player, the hitter that you need, plug him in the lineup, and you're going to have to give up some minor league prospects.
Hello, Cody Bellinger.
He would add a lot of punch, and he could leave at any part of the park in Chicago, and he can do it in Minnesota. So that's quite the stroke going on in Chicago on the north side right now.
Joined by Cal Algert today on gym class is every 2-week segment on baseball. And you got a call from Spencer, our resident Milwaukee Brewers fan, and he's very, very familiar with you breaking in with the Brewers. But Milwaukee, winners of 4 in a row. Cincinnati, losers of 4 in a row. They had met. Milwaukee handled Cincinnati. Is this an ebb and flow thing, or do you think Milwaukee will take control?
Well, it's tough. I think I think this comes down to a deadline move. Both of these teams' offenses need a shot. They need a shot in the arm. And pitching wise, I think Cincinnati's probably in that same position. They could help themselves either side of the ball. Milwaukee's pitching's pretty good. They got to keep getting guys healthy and getting them back out there. But Milwaukee's pitching's pretty solid. Their bullpen's pretty solid. I think that this is something that Milwaukee, they've been searching for consistency all year. And obviously, him being a huge fan of the Brewers, he knows this. But their club needs some consistency. I think they can do it. I think they're capable of doing it. I don't think Milwaukee's organization's going to shy away from adding to that club. Be curious to be in those meetings to hear whether they think they need to add to their pitching and their offense. I think it's the offense, but Cincinnati's pretty much in the same boat. Should be fun watching these two teams.
Fewer than 70 games remaining in the regular season. How far is too far back right now, or does it depend how many teams are in front of you?
Well, I think there's the obviously the wild card throws a different dynamic in here. And the push too, Mark, and I know we've talked about this in the past, is that you're talking about a short series. You get into the wild card, you get the bye. A couple teams do that win divisions. Winning a division is a big deal. It just really, really is. And I look at, depending on the division, I think as good as the teams are in the American League East, any of those teams can win this division. I don't know how you're going to, you look at it and you think, wow, how can the Yankees make up, 9 games on Tampa? That 8-9 games might be too far out. But if you're at 5, 5.5 games, 6 games, you can make those up, especially if those teams ahead of you are on your schedule. And that's something that now we go back to the scheduling that we've talked about. I think that has not, if they can play in their division later in the season, these divisions can get even hotter and people can move around quicker. So I feel like if you're 5.5 games to 6 games out, depending on, like you said, how many teams are in front of you, both in the division and in the wild card, that'll make your decision whether you're a buyer or seller at this deadline.
Back to the All-Star game for just a second, Cal. Were you on pins and needles waiting for a home run derby to settle things?
Not really. I've seen enough home runs in my lifetime, Mark. But I thought it was pretty cool that you've got a father and a son now that have won the home run derby. I'm not a huge fan of that, but these guys are pretty impressive in what they can do. You see it every day taking BP, and I know it's more for the fan to really watch and enjoy, but I was sometimes those things bring back bad memories, Mark.
I won't go to Baseball Reference and look up your home runs allowed, okay?
Hell, there's plenty.
It doesn't look like Luis Arraez is going to hit 400. He's at 378 right now. But plenty of great numbers being put up by Shohei Ohtani, Ronald Acuna Jr. He's having just a terrific year. And on the pitching side of things, you've got 4 guys who have won 11 games: Zach Gallen, Shane McClanahan, Spencer Strider, and Taiwan Walker. So a lot of interesting stats to go over.
You know, and I was leafing through some of those, Mark, and I, you know, there's a couple guys that stick out to me, and I'm picking on some pitchers, and it's interesting because I need to watch one guy for sure, Blake Snell, and see exactly what he's been doing different or just better. What has he been better at? Because, I mean, he's third in the league in baseball in ERA, and you see a guy like that, and you think, okay, he's made a lot of changes. Now, free agent at the end of the year, maybe that's the motivation. But when I see guys like what we've talked about with Sonny Gray and how good he's been all year, how consistent, and you look at even Charlie Morton, who's 10-6 with a 3.2 earned run average in the top 20. But here we are again, Clayton Kershaw, 95 innings pitched, and he's 10-4 in leading the league in earned run average. I mean, with it being eligible. And it's that's impressive. He's not a youngster. Both him and Charlie Morton are a little longer in the tooth, but still getting it done. And you watching Ohtani hit home run number 35 against the Yankees, and watching some of the Atlanta's offense as a whole and what they've been able to do in Texas also, lots of great numbers being put up and obviously a lot of fun to watch.
Definitely so. Cal, thanks for joining us again today. We're going to talk in a couple weeks. And as always, enjoy the baseball.
You bet. Enjoy the baseball. Thanks, Mark.
Cal Elder joining us on today's gym class, imparting his wisdom about the game. Always appreciate his appearance. Isaac, we ready for a break?
Yeah, I'm all set if you're ready.
Let's do it.
You've been listening to the gym class on KGYM. Back after more.
If this were a Reese's TV ad, you'd be staring at a Reese's peanut butter cup. And sure, my voice is peanut buttery smooth, but still, you need to see the peanut butter cups, right? No? I can really just say Reese's and you'll go get some? Okay. Reese's. 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 Really working, actually. Reese's. Reese's. This, I'm on to something. Reese's. Reese's. Reese's.
Yo, babe, this one still needs to be vacuumed.
The service at Chuck's car detailing business is spotless. But new word of mouth recommendations leave him short of hands.
They don't have an appointment? Just get him in line behind the pickup truck. I'll stay for another couple hours and get it done tonight.
Indeed can help him hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Our hiring platform instantly connects you with quality candidates, and you can schedule and conduct virtual interviews right from the Indeed dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
With summer in full swing, now's the perfect time to head to the ballpark. Score great deals on great seats from our friends at Vivid Seats, the official ticketing partner of ESPN. Every crack of the bat, every diving catch, every heart-pounding play. Experience it live, in person, from the first pitch to the final inning. Vivid Seats has a huge selection of MLB tickets, and they're the only ticket company that rewards your purchases. For the best selection of 2023, shop now. Just visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Gilbert worked in retail and restaurant management for 14 years. It was time for a change.
I recognized where I was at was vulnerable to the whims of the economy.
Then he heard about My Computer Career. Gilbert went for it.
In as little as 7 months, I got all of my certifications at a fraction of a cost for college.
He became an IT pro in just months with zero experience at mycomputercareer.edu.
I can work from anywhere. I have more time for my family as well.
It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
This is one student's experience. Individual results vary.
Welcome back to the gym class, 3:48, about 10 minutes or fewer remaining in today's show. Please stay tuned from 4 to 6 as the Todd Brommelkamp show will air. Of course, local programming gets kicked off every day at 2 with Spencer on sports. Mark Dukes alongside Isaac today. Scott Unash will return tomorrow. We're going to visit with Chris Liss. Plenty to talk with him about in the world of Major League Baseball and football. Isaac, principally, we'll have a lot to talk about with with Chris on NFL running backs. We mentioned yesterday that Saquon Barkley and Josh Jacobs did not sign tenders yesterday, failed to reach long-term contracts. What's going on with running backs? I mean, so many teams have given up on the importance of them. I mean, Belichick hasn't. The Packers, in large extent, even if Aaron Rodgers had a really good running game, and other teams as well. But yet, Barkley, Jacobs have not reached long-term deals.
Yeah, I mean, it's, again, it goes back to kind of how the NFL's changed a little bit more. It's very passing heavy now. And to be a running back, even, you have to be able to catch the ball. And yeah, it's hard to really pinpoint exactly what NFL teams think. I think a lot of teams look at it where they say, why would I pay probably what, 10, 11 million per season for a player? There is some truth to it when I can find a player in the fourth round, the third round, that, you know, I can pay much less and get similar production out of. And I think the only running backs we're seeing easily get long-term deals are the running backs that are very game-changing. So your Derrick Henrys, he was obviously going to get an extension. Your Christian McCaffreys, he got an extension when he was up. It's why I was so surprised that Barkley didn't get an extension. I think the Giants may have made a little bit of a mistake there. Barkley at least has had multiple seasons where he's, at least to me, been a top three running back in the league. And they paid Daniel Jones after he had one season of above average quarterback play, I guess would be the best way of putting it. I don't think he was phenomenal last season or anything. I think he was okay. I would have opted to pay Barkley because he is, in my opinion, far more important to how that offense wants to run than Daniel Jones.
It's almost like, in some respects, the running quarterback has replaced the running back. Now, not in catching passes and that sort of thing, but quarterbacks, many of them are accumulating rushing yards that, you know, running backs, you know, previously had. I think and this is the case with Barkley. If you can catch a pass out of the backfield, you're going to be that much more valuable. You know, Derrick Henry is kind of a ground and pound type guy.
Mm-hmm.
Jacobs, I don't know his receiving statistics, but I mean, for the next 3 years, who would you rather have, Barkley, Jacobs, or Tony Pollard?
Yeah, I mean, it'd be Barkley. I think the Giants, I don't know. It's not up to my decision. And I'd be interested if there were any Giants fans, if they would feel the same. But I think we looked at how that offense ran, and it ran through Barkley. Daniel Jones wasn't a part of it. But I think with Brian Daboll as your head coach, one of the better offensive minds in the league, I think I wouldn't be so worried about putting a new quarterback into that system than getting a new running back in that system when Barkley was so crucial for that team making the playoffs last season.
Last item I want to get to, and it's 3:53 today on the Gym Class, is a guy named Gable Steveson, Olympic champion wrestler, who presumably his career in college has ended, but not so fast. Over the weekend, Steveson put out some kind of innocuous, persuading tweets. And I feel like a lot of people took the bait on this, but maybe not so fast. Steveson could return to Minnesota. he could enter the transfer portal, thus fueling the flames of him perhaps landing in the Iowa camp. And poor Tony Cacioppo, who all he does is finish third, fourth, fifth in the country every year, is hearing this sort of thing. So I reached out to my closest Iowa wrestling source. You might guess who that is. And he said he believes Stevenson is testing the waters. You know, if he loves the attention, Stevenson, that is, and Iowa would certainly give him that. And the whole country would hate Gable Stevenson if he ends up at Iowa, which Stevenson loves. My opinion, Stevenson not coming back to college, but apparently there's maybe a shred here of, as my source said, Stevenson testing the waters.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly something, I think it's something to keep an eye on at the very least. Initially, I think a lot of people, and I think rightly so, kind of thought he was maybe starting to market himself or brand himself a little bit with it. But I think we've seen some other people kind of verify, no, this might be a thing he's actually considering. Again, whether it comes to fruition or not is a whole other talk. I don't think so. But I think at the very least, it has Iowa fans excited and it has the rest of the country watching.
And don't kid yourself, and Stevenson, quote unquote, testing the waters, that means how much money is he going to get paid should he return to maybe Minnesota or enter the transfer portal and land at Iowa. We'll see. I don't think it has a whole lot of legs, but it's breathing a little bit right now.
Yeah, it's at least worth watching and keeping an eye on a little bit.
Definitely. All right, we've come to the end here, folks, and we want to thank Cal Eldred for his biweekly appearance on the Gym Class, imparting his wisdom on Major League Baseball. Congratulations to our ticket winners to Saturday's IndyCar race and concerts. And tomorrow, Scott Unash will return. And Isaac, I can't thank you enough for sitting in the last 2 days.
Yeah, it's been good. Got a little bit more comfortable day two than maybe day one. It's also less hot in the studio today than it was yesterday, so that might have been a factor.
Maybe after 16 years or so, you'll feel comfortable. I don't know.
Hopefully so, yeah. I think just give it time. Thanks, Mark. Scott, back with you tomorrow. Talk to you tomorrow, I guess.
Sounds great. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned for the Todd Brommelkamp Show.
It's Wrangler season out there. T-shirt days, denim jacket nights. A pair of broken-in jeans you could live in. Open roads, endless horizons, no destinations. This is when adventure starts.